I went back to living as I had lived before they came. I stopped cooking breakfast and went out every morning to get coffee and fresh rolls at the Italian deli. Back home, I would sit and write for hours at a wooden table under the windows of a former sun porch. Outside the windows, as it got dark, the backyard parties would begin, with music and shouting and provocations that later might develop into fights, and I would be frightened, not of any hostility, but of a kind of non-existence. In one of these moods, I phoned Sunny and got the invitation to spend the weekend in the country. "It's beautiful here," I said, but the country we were driving through meant nothing to me. The hills were a series of green bumps, some with cows. There were low concrete bridges over weed-covered streams. Hay was harvested in a new way, rolled up and left in the fields. "Wait till you see the house," Sunny said. "It's squalid." She did not ask me, was it delicacy or disapproval, about my new life. I would have told her lies anyway, or half-lies. It was hard to make the break, but it had to be done. I miss the children terribly, but there is always a price to be paid. I am learning to leave a man free and to be free myself. I am learning to take sex lightly, which is hard for me because that's not the way I started out, and I'm not young, but I'm learning. The bricks of the house showed a scar where a veranda had been torn away. Sunny's boys were tromping around in the yard. The three-year-old girl, born since I'd last seen Sunny, came running out of the kitchen door and then halted, surprised at the sight of a stranger. Sunny picked her up, and I took up my overnight bag, and we walked into the kitchen where Mike McCallum was spreading ketchup on a piece of bread. "It's you," we said, almost in the same breath. We laughed. I rushed towards him, and he moved toward me. We shook hands. "I thought it was your father," I said.